Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives. Now, here's your hosts, Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our families, our finances, our faith. And perfect person to talk about that, one of our favorite guests, Sarah Myers-Grieve, back with us again.
Yay! I'm so glad to be here.
And you're with Invitation Ministries.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have to say, you were here with us last year talking about your story. And I don't want to get too deep in because I want you to be able to tell it. But it has been one of the most listened to radio shows that we have up online at clinchpal.net because it is such a cool story about redemption, about how far you can go when you are willing to put in the work. And know that there's just no limitations. So with that, if you would just kind of tell us a little bit about your story.
Absolutely. I was in addiction for over 12 years. It was a really hardcore addiction. I was on IV drugs. I started smoking marijuana when I was a teenager, and it led to pain pills and then IV drugs. And it got into harder stuff where I was using meth through IV drugs, and I learned to cook meth, and it was just really a brutal addiction. I was raised in a really dysfunctional home. My mother was suffered with mental health and in and out of my life. And because of that, I began to find acceptance through running around with the other kids that came from a broken home. And that's really what started my addiction. By the time I was 15, I was on the needle, and that lasted for the next 10 years of my life. And that came with over 25 arrests, convicted felon. By the time I was 23, I'd buried my mother, my father on my birthday, my brother, my grandmother, and my first son. And so I had really come to a place where I had no hope and no reason to live, and full of shame. So in the midst of that, I raised three children that my rights were terminated to because of my addiction.
That is unbelievable. What you've been through and the difficulties that you have overcome. Just, you know, I'm sure everyone listening with me right now is just, holy moly. First of all, hallelujah, mm-hmm. Rejoice and yeah. Praise that you came out of it.
Yes.
So, it's got to be always hard to talk about, and also a blessing, I'm sure, as well to talk about. But my goodness, what's life like now?
Well,
where are you now?
After all of that, so I came to the place in my life where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I was in jail. I was in a 5x9 cell, and there was a group coming in to share about Christ, to share about Jesus, just really coming in to do a faith-based class. And I can remember going to that class several weeks in a row and really questioning, is it possible for me to have a different life? And after consistently going to that class, the women that were ministering were really ministering the love of Christ. About the fourth class in, their love turned my heart to mush, and I know it was God's love. And so I gave my life to the Lord when I was 23, and from that point, instead of going to prison, they allowed me to go to a faith-based program, a Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge, which was a miracle, just that they allowed me to go there. But while I was there, I completed the time as a student for 12 months. I stayed on for a staff for a year and a half. And that has been 12 years ago, and God has restored my children to me. He walked me through the trauma. I've went through a lot of trauma healing. So it is hard at times to talk about things, but when you go through healing, when God brings you through a place of healing and you walk through the healing, the prayer is always that God would use every bit of it. But He also has used it for me to know this is the calling of my life, to be able to give hope, because that's what I needed. God. And so that is where I am today. I'm a homeowner, thank goodness. And I have my children back in my life. I'm the founder of a nonprofit, and I'm an ordained minister. I'm an author of a book. I am about to get my associate's degree in pastoral leadership. Woo! And so God can restore it all.
Amen to that. But how many of those, how fabulous is that, Stace? I am. And my guess is you are just beginning to scrape the surface. And I can see it in your eyes. People can't see it, but trust me, you can see it in her eyes that she has things to do, places to go, and visions to realize. So tell us some more about that.
Absolutely. So we have a nonprofit here called Invitation Ministries, and what we offer is faith-based programs. We offer rehab, detox, referral, and we do some discipleship, and we are always offering hope and resources. Everything starts with an interview. The phone number is 931-250-3326. And so for anyone listening out there, and you might just be a family member that needs some guidance, for someone who has a loved one that is in addiction, you can call. You will receive counsel from somebody that has been there or has a family member. If you are someone that's struggling with addiction, you can call and set up a interview with us, and we will give you resources and help you get the help that is needed.
It's amazing too, because Sarah is very well known in Cumberland County in particular, because she speaks everywhere and has been so vital into helping so many families be restored. I had a situation several years ago where a friend of mine came to me, and she was just desperate. My daughter is deep in addiction. She's in jail right now. I don't know what to do. And I gave her Sarah's number. I said, this is the woman to talk to, because if anyone can give you hope, if anyone can give you resources, it's Sarah, because she has literally lived through it. Now this young woman is married. She's expecting her first child, a daughter. She's doing amazing. She went through Teen Challenge, ended up becoming a staff member. I mean, the same, you know, she's like, she's walking, you know, in the steps that you laid out, which I think is so powerful.
Yeah, I really minister from a place and help from a place of my own experience, from everything that I have walked through. And I think that's one of the things that people that I meet with can relate to me, that they know that I have been there. And so it removes the excuses, because if I can do it, they can do it. And so it's always an honor to be able to offer the help.
So what's going on right now with Invitation Ministries?
So we have a banquet coming up on April 17th, and that is going to be in Sparta at Duck Pond Manor. This is a fundraising banquet for us. It is an awesome time to come and to learn about the ministry, and also to come and hear testimonies. So RSVP by calling 931-250-3326, or get your tickets on Eventbrite. It's April 17th. It's at 6 o'clock in Sparta at Duck Pond Manor. This is a beautiful venue. We also offer, again, weekly help for anybody who is needing help going into a program. We do a big outreach, and several outreaches throughout the year, that we also are accepting toys, items for the homeless. We do these outreaches, and then what we do is we offer people the opportunity to go into programs. So that's a couple of events coming up and a couple of ways that people can help.
Now, you just said something that I thought was really interesting. I'm a couponer. So, and Lindy and I actually just had a conversation about a half an hour about this. Because I'm one of those, you know, crazy people that has my little stockpile of personal care products and things like that. So is this something where I can reach out to you and say, hey, you know, I've got a whole bunch of this, you know, these items, can your folks use them?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, the ones that people get through coupons too are the larger bottles, and we like to give those to people that are going into programs, as well as some of the people that we're helping through discipleship, and some of the homeless people. So yes.
I know that for people, you know, that may want to support your ministry, your organization anyway, money's always the best way, the easiest way, the most, useful because then you can get what you need, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You're talking about how you collect things, and I'm sitting here going, okay, how much storage do you have? Where are your facilities? What do your facilities look like? And specifically, other than donations and clearly coming to support your event and things, how is the best way that volunteers can help?
So being an advocate, to be able to be somebody who can communicate our resources one way. The next way of gathering items, some of our women's meetings, Bible studies, they actually take up and gather items, toiletries, homeless items, those kind of things. One specific group, they bring backpacks. But we do have a storage unit, and we do have a ministry home, and we do have property on Lantana. And so whoever is interested and being able to bring items or collect items for us, they can call us at the number and we can get that set up for them. The other option is people can become an advocate or a volunteer to be able to transport people to programs. People can become a volunteer to be able to do public relations, those kind of things. There's all different areas to be able to become a volunteer if you want to take a step further than just collecting items.
How would we give you cash?
So you can mail a check to P.O. Box 3622, Crossville, Tennessee, 38557. You can call the phone number and you can come to our office off of Lantana Road. And you can also donate on our website at www.invitationministries.com.
That's great. So you mentioned toiletries. Give us some specifics on what makes a good toiletry package, or, you know, really hands-on things. I'm sitting here thinking, years ago I was a Girl Scout leader. This is the kind of thing that, you know, the girls and I would have loved to have done at that time. Sometimes little things add up to big things, but if you're going to make the effort, what are the things that are truly needed?
So for a bag for somebody going into rehab, it's very similar to somebody going that's homeless. Other than if it's homeless, the seasons change, we would add socks. Or if it's summer, we would add sunglasses and chapstick. So shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, a pair of socks. And then normally everyone who's going into a program, we give them a New Living Translation or Modern Translation Bible, because that's a requirement to some of the programs. And so just the basics, really. It's a basic start in a backpack, a good backpack, because some of them, they don't even have a decent bag to take with them. So,
yeah, I've heard that about foster kids, too, that, you know, when they move from home to home, there's everything they have in a garbage bag. And that just breaks my heart thinking about that. Because you just don't necessarily think about that as well. I know I have a dear friend who always, I remember one time I got in her car, we were going somewhere, and I'm like, gee, you think you got enough umbrellas? You think it's going to have a monsoon? And she said, I keep umbrellas because I pass them out to the homeless folks.
Yes.
When it's raining, I'm like, oh, well.
Never thought of that.
Duh.
Yeah.
But what a great idea. That's why I was asking, like, the, you know, practical things. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know you're in it all the time, but a lot of us are not. I work with some ministries as a volunteer and things. You know, folks, you don't often remember things that are extremely expensive that you must have are female products.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do give away female products in little bags too, inside of the bags. And so that, and umbrellas and ponchos. We give out ponchos more than we do umbrellas, but that's a great way too, because that protects them from the sun and the rain. So those items as well.
That's such a great idea though, thinking about the umbrellas. You know, how many times do you pass by a yard sale or garage sale, right? And there's going to be umbrellas there that are maybe 50 cents. You know, it's going to be a very inexpensive item, but that's a brilliant idea.
I know it. Her back seat, she had at least 10.
Wow.
So I'm like, good on you. I need to step up my game.
Yeah. And the female products as well. I mean, that's something that, again, you don't think about it because you just assume, right? We just assume in our world that everybody's got that.
But it, you know, for somebody that's struggling or maybe on the street, what a huge luxury that would be considered.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the truth of it is that somebody that's homeless or going into rehab or just somebody that is having a hard time, really, some of these people are in positions not to justify anyone who is stealing, but sometimes for food and those kind of purposes, they will be in that position and they go in and they take things. And, you know, there's times when we minister to people and we say, hey, listen, what do you need? We actually will catch somebody in that kind of action to be able to counteract that, to be able to minister and say, hey, let's get you some help. And so I think that that is a big, just feminine products is a big commodity. I agree with you in that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they are so expensive.
Yes.
For sure. And it kind of goes back to also, again, you know, when I was a Sunday school teacher and a youth group leader, you know, and getting the kids out and doing some ministry work and, you know, collecting food and all that sort of thing. It's like, it's not just about any food, and it's not just about the holidays, you know. It is more about think it through what makes sense, you know, canned tuna, canned chicken, you know, or not things that require expensive milk, you know, to put in with things. So, but just the thoughtfulness about what really makes sense and what really can make a difference and have shelf life.
Yes.
Kinds of things. So
during our Christmas giveaway, we give away a lot of canned items and a lot of toiletries and a lot of toys for the kids and a lot of toilet paper, those kind of things.
Again, luxury
expensive.
Items.
Expensive. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Toilet paper. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
But you can coupon it and get it very, very inexpensively, and I can teach you how.
That's awesome.
Well, there we go. If we can all be on, all like, right. getting the coupons.
But I want to hear something, Sarah, if you would. So you go through rehab, you go through Teen Challenge, and you come back. And now you are a changed person, but your environment is not changed. How does one approach that? Because from what I understand about addiction, that's the hardest part, right? Trying to, you know, you're already and you're gung-ho. It's like when you go to a conference, right? You know, and you get out of that conference like, I'm ready to go. And then you get back and you're like, oh, but yeah, here's my real life, right? You know, like I got the kids and I got to get that. So how does one come back and reintegrate back into your world and you've got all these relationships? What was that like? Describe that process.
So I knew immediately when I left that I had to get connected to a support group. I had to be able to get other people that were like-minded. I needed to get plugged back in. So when you leave a program, it's like unplugging from an electric socket and you have to get plugged back in. And so I got plugged in immediately with other ministries, with support people. That's really important. But I spend a lot of time ministering and meeting with women, or my husband will meet with men and we try to develop a 6-month plan. A lot of the programs we send to give them a plan, but some of them don't stay and they have to come back to be moms or dads here. And so we try to help them develop a plan. And really the best part of the plan is them getting plugged in. They need a support group. The next thing I would say, the two common things of relapse after completing a long-term program or really with recovery is I always counsel people not to get into a relationship. And the second thing, most people don't realize this, but when you have lost your children or someone else is raising your children and you come back and you try to just take all this responsibility on, it is the second cause of relapse is parents becoming parents again too quickly, because all of a sudden they have all this responsibility they weren't used to. So we counsel them through those things of taking time and having a plan. That is the biggest thing. So for me, I had to get plugged in. I had to be careful about not getting in relationships, and I had to be willing to take time, even as a parent, of parenting my children, because I knew that I had not had that kind of responsibility before. And so you have to be able to take the steps that are needed, which would be getting plugged in a support group, having a plan, understanding this is a process. I mean, it took me 6 months to adjust to move here. And then it took me 5 years to work on my credit before I became a homeowner. And so I say this all the time to people I am helping. You can get your kids back, but can you keep them?
Yeah. And credit. That's a big thing. And one of the things about Clinch Pal, one of our sort of secret sauces about our agency is that we are a HUD certified housing counseling agency. So if you are coming in and you've got some credit issues, we've got some of, and I will say this unequivocally, we have some of the best counselors anywhere that have been there, have done that. I'm included in that group, been there, done that. If there's a mistake that's been done on credit, hi, I've made it twice. So, there's no judgment. There's only how can we partner with you, because we can't do it for you,
yes.
Right? And I'm sure you see this in addiction recovery. You have to take responsibility because you got into this mess.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you, walk you through it, hand in hand, side by side, and get to the other side. But it's not going to be an overnight process. People will ask me that all the time. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, how long did it take you to get to this point? Well, it was like all of a sudden because I said, but you had credit for how long, right? So it's a process.
Yes.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Yes.
It may be, a year, 2 years, 6 years, 5 years, in your case, 5 years. And you took that time. It's harder to get on the map once you have no credit, I would even say, than even fixing bad credit. Getting on the radar is very, very difficult. But you did these steps. You followed the plan. You worked the plan every day, just like your recovery plan. And tell us about the day that you got your keys to your home.
So the day I got the keys to my home, I had been working with you, Stace, for 8 months, maybe a year. I mean, she gave me a plan. This is what I need you to do. Follow this step. And that's what I did. And then I came back to her and we were able to get approved. And the day I got the keys to my home, I still have it recorded on video and I still have pictures of it. My kiddos came and we recorded us pulling the sign out of the ground. And it was really groundbreaking because even my own parents did not own a home.
First generation homeowner.
That's right. And so it was really, it was something that broke ground in my generation, and to be able to give hope for my children, because that's a big deal, because you can be stuck homeless in poverty your whole entire life. And so it was a fulfilled promise.
It is. It is a huge jump start in having stable family.
Mm.
And the clearly the change in you, but the change for your children.
Yes.
And because they lived through this with you, they lived without you.
Mm.
And, the house is not just the structure. It is everything that is provides safety. It is a visible and touchable safety piece to their life, and an assurance that things are on the right track. I would imagine it has to be.
Oh yes, and I share that everywhere I speak. Some rehabs I'll go and speak, and I'll take my keys, because they represent so much, from vehicles to buildings to my home, and I'll tell them the testimony of how I was able to become a homeowner with bedrooms for my children. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, you may not have this yet, but come here and touch the keys, and let's, talk about a plan, and let's pray for you. And so,
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fabulous, because, keys are, and it keys to life are everything. And I know for Stace and I, and for everybody at Clinch Pal for that matter, there's nothing happier than promises fulfilled.
Right.
And barriers broken.
Yes.
And overcome. And like Stace said, so many of us, we've walked in many a moccasin, for however people come in to overcome things, whether it's sometimes people have have lived through or are living through foreclosure. Yeah. We have people, that's why they're so good at that, helping you not lose your home through foreclosure, because they have themselves done that and overcome addictions of many sort and bad credit and making all the bad decisions. If we all, I know myself, I haven't always had the best credit in the past. I didn't have really bad credit, but what I do know is what it was like, and that a lot of that came from making it work when my kids were small. Mm-hmm. I always tell moms, like, what you don't realize is I was still paying for formula and diapers from a Sears credit card when you were in high school.
Wow.
It's how long it took to get that stuff paid off. But, debt's a real thing.
Yeah.
Not all debt's bad. Debt's, you don't want to be in debt, but sometimes that's the option that you have. But, you can come through. And that's a walk in a park. I'm not comparing that at all. But everybody has a different, very few of us have had a perfect life.
Yeah.
And that makes... that makes things more meaningful and a way to understand when folks are in different situations as well.
Yes.
I want to go back to your event because you mentioned this fundraising event. So I think we need to talk about it again, because I have this feeling that, number one, it's a great event. And number two, that it's really important to your ministries and your work.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us again when it is, how do they buy tickets, if they can't come, where they give you donations so that you can keep the fabulous work up that you're doing.
Absolutely. So it's April 17th. So that is under 2 weeks from now. It's on a Thursday night at 6 p.m. at Duck Pond Manor, which is about 25 minutes away from here in Sparta. We are closing the RSVP on April 10th. So you have a week from now. You can come. You can join us. If we have a couple extra seats, we'll scoot you in. But the number is 931-250-3326 to RSVP, or you can go to Eventbrite. This event is going to highlight testimonies and the way that we have seen families be helped and people be helped. You will get to see testimonies of lives that have been changed, and you will get to learn about the expansion and the vision of what we our vision for the next 5 years. And so we want to invite you to come. It's really an important night for our ministry. We share to our partners of all that we are doing, and we ask for those who feel led to jump on board with us to become a partner that night, and we share our vision. So the other thing that happens is people come and they are ignited with hope, and their eyes are awakened to the need. And so there's a huge amount of awareness that happens for our city, for families within our city. And we get a lot of referrals from people who come, because then we also tell people how they can help people after they leave that banquet. And so they have a resource in their hand that offers hope.
Yeah, it's awesome. Call to action is very important. I saw this twinkle in your eye talking about these plans of the future. So we'll have to have her back after this becomes public to talk about the future.
How much are the tickets, Sarah?
They're $25 a plate to be able to cover the dinner. It is a really elegant night. It's going to be a formal night. So get dressed up. Ooh, come with your hubby or your friend or whoever, and come and enjoy it. It's a beautiful venue. This is a venue that me and my husband was married at. And so this is going to be a beautiful night. And then if you can't come and you want to give a donation, you can mail us a check at P.O. Box 3622, Crossville, Tennessee, 38557.
And we are wrapping up here. So just one last time, how do people get in touch with you, either for referrals, for donations? What is that phone number?
931-250-3326.
Do you have an email?
invitationministries@gmail.com. That's all one letter, or all one word, Invitation Ministries.
Sarah, I love having you in here. One, because your energy is just so amazingly positive and sweet, and you're such an inspiration, and I cherish you as a friend, and I cannot wait for the banquet, because I am going. I'm bringing the hubby, so we will definitely be there.
There you go. And we can't wait to see all the good things that happens and the great fundraiser that it is. And I'm pretty sure we can buy a ticket for $25 and come out of pocket for a little bit more for more help there, because it can't go to a better reason.
Thank you so much.
Sarah, you've been an absolute delight. Find out more about Sarah Myers-Grieve on our website. You can catch her previous little jaunt with us on Dollars and Cents. And, of course, if you missed anything, you can also catch it up at clinchpal.net.
And one more time, what's your website address?
www.invitationministries.com.
For Lindy Turner, I'm Stace Cargi. This is Dollars and Cents on WAEW, and we'll see you next week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.